is Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, and we have with us on the newsline Peg Webb, the Senior Financial Advisor at the Wealth Enhancement Group. And Peg, good morning. Flying solo today, huh?
Yes. We're actually giving Bruce a well-deserved day off.
Oh, nice. So, yes.
Yeah, and he doesn't take that many, so I hope he's enjoying his day off.
Yes.
We do want to get listeners involved, but before, the elephant in the room is the stock market last week and the bond market last week were definitely down. You may recall, if you're a regular listener to Bruce and I on this show, last week we started the show talking about the volatility in the markets and, if you're going to invest, for the long term, don't do anything. Well, let's just talk a little bit about this week. We can't ignore it. Actually, on Thursday, the S&P 500 dipped into this correction territory, down about 10%. Year to date, though, we're negative 4.1. This is on the S&P 500. NASDAQ was down a little bit more here on 14%. That's the entity that holds a lot of these tech stocks. So what's happened is some good news that you should follow our advice is, Bruce and I always talk about, diversification is key. But this is interesting. Within U.S. equities, value and cyclical stocks like healthcare, utilities, energy have now outperformed tech and AI. And that's why Bruce and I talk about diversification. I know people have been driven towards AI and all these tech stocks for years. But here's what's interesting, too, is that international stocks, including Europe and China, they're up about 8 to 10%. Just another reason that you want to diversify. One of the things we're doing right now is making sure that clients understand, again, that there are pullbacks that are normal in the stock market. We kind of forget, right? We forget mm-hmm. that in 2022, late in that year, this S&P 500 was down 25%, but then it came back at 2023 with 26% positive, 2024, 25% positive. Mm-hmm. The last five years, 15.94% on average that we've actually earned on our money. And I know people are confident out there because our portfolios are so much higher than they were 5 years ago. It still is so hard, Susie, to have what you believe you have and have it go backwards.
And you see, I was going to say, Peg, you see your statement and you're like, oh, it's like, so. And I was going to ask you, though, if someone is your client and they're retiring right now, how do you manage that if their bulk of their investments, they just see a big dip in? I mean, how do you manage that? Hopefully, like you say, they've got money in other areas so they don't have to touch the stock market money.
Yes. A good question, Susie. But if you're near retirement and you're working with Wealth Enhancement Group, there is no way, no how, we're going to have a huge percentage in the stock market. We're going to be diversified. Stocks, bonds, real estate, and cash are a couple of the categories that you would diversify in. Speaking of bonds, yields have come down again because here's what's happening. Investors are selling out. And I'm not saying that individual investors are all selling out, but as the market as a whole, investors have been flocking to safety because maybe they don't work with the Wealth Enhancement Group, right? And they were aggressive and they're saying, what am I doing? I've got to protect some of this money. So bonds like the U.S. Treasury, they're actually up in value right now because the yields are going down. And so why in the world would you, invest in something for the long term? And once again, I said this last week, is that I know you feel like you want to just get out, and you believe in your real heart that you will know when to get back in. It is impossible. I mean, I've been doing this for decades. So cashing out after a market tanks means that you bought high and you sold low. And my experience is it's the world's worst investment strategy. There are no clear signals at all for us. There's no flashing alarm on our computers that say, hey, now's the time to get back in. It just doesn't happen. So I'm going to conclude with this. The history, I'm not talking about me knowing what's going to happen in the future, but history has proven over and over and over again that if you just stay in, let's say you sold out in 2022, late 2022, and you were down 25%, that was hard to make up if you took it out and you didn't time that, you know, to get back in. So bottom line, make sure your allocation is in order. If you are retiring in the next 2 to 3 years, I really hope that you do have some cash and some short-term investments that you could utilize, you know. And then another thing is maybe you take your dividends. So if you have a portfolio of stocks that are that have dividends and you need some income and you're retiring, there's no problem in just starting those dividends by using those to live on. So we do have a show today called The Deregulation and the Markets. And, you know, I thought this was an interesting article that our marketing department put together. It's how regulation and deregulation have influenced financial markets over the past several decades. So I'm going to draw a little bit on history here. And first, what we should probably do is talk about regulation and how it responds to past crises, while deregulation seeks to stimulate growth. Understanding the reasons behind these changes helps us make smarter investment decisions. Wealth Enhancement Group uses a lot of insight about things that have happened in the past, and we're diving into, is that going to repeat itself in the future? Now, deregulation often boosts innovation and competition. It also requires investors to stay alert, though, on their new risk and opportunity. So you've got both regulation and deregulation. I want to give you a couple of examples. Regulations can protect investors. And boy, have we seen a lot of I think, good rules that we follow that provide transparency. And they actually foster trust for all of us in the markets. So once again, regulation protects us. Deregulation is deregulation gives those companies more opportunity to go grow without a lot of red tape around them. And so let me give you an example. Airlines, 1978. Deregulation of the U.S. airline industry, it led to lower fees, increased places that we could fly to, and it actually had a huge surge in travel demand. Because there was increased competition, it squeezed margins. Many airlines adapted very quickly to their higher volume of passengers. So that's an example. One more that you guys listening are going to remember. Telecommunications, 1996. Deregulation opened up competition in local and long-distance phone services. It spurred all these new technologies and services, leading to a very strong market performance because of the innovation that came out of that deregulation. So you see there's regulation and deregulation. And so regulation, when you look back kind of at its historical roots, regulation does help protect us. It's got a set of rules and guidelines that government agencies put in place, because then we as businesses in the financial markets where we operate, we follow all those rules. Absolutely, because they came into law. Once again, deregulation is the process of reducing this red tape, you know, removing some of that government-imposed rules. Is one better than the other? I think there's a place for both of them. I do. I believe there's a place for both of them. And what I'd like to do, Susie, too, is even when I talk about this conclusion and all these, the call to action, I don't want to go too crazy on deregulation and regulation. I would love to get listeners involved because there's a lot going on. Mm. And we've been getting questions during the week, too. So if you could just put the phone number out there, and then I'll kind of close this regulation, the regulation and deregulation. And then I'd like to address a couple weeks calls that I got this week.
Okay.
And then I'd really like to open it up for questions.
That sounds great. Let's remind people listening, you are listening to Your Money Wealth Enhancement, Peg Webb, Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor. And if you're listening right now and you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or we can get it to Peg via, I'll share with it if you want to text it, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. And Peg, we have questions already, unless you want to continue on with more of your thoughts, but we could jump in with a question.
Well, let's do this. I just have a couple things, because I'll close this out right now.
Okay.
Then. So summarizing these main insights is that both regulation and deregulation come in cycles. Each has its own risks and opportunities. History teaches us to be prepared, to be adaptable and well-informed. So our firm, you know, obviously is very informed of, you know, if there's regulation or deregulation, know the pros and cons of each. So the clear steps, this is the ending here, is just stay informed. You know, if you see something and you have questions about it, do not hesitate to contact your advisor and remain flexible. Adjust your portfolio and strategies if there's new opportunities, because there is some new regulation. And I really like the example that our marketing team used was both the airlines and the telecommunications, because I clearly remember those times. So yes, let's get the listeners involved.
All right. 651-461-9226. A texter writes, in 2022, I had $101,000 in my IRA, and now it's only worth $95,000. What do you do with that? I mean, I guess it depends on where the person is in their life. Maybe you want to address that if someone's seen that kind of a hit.
Well, obviously, you are not in the right investments. What I just said, let me just repeat what I had did a quick review on the markets. Now, I don't know if you're in stocks or if you're in bonds, but really and truly the last couple of years, you could win at both, because the stock market did well, and bonds actually provided a high yield, and money markets were even at 4.5%, sometimes 5% in that time frame. So if you had a 101,000 IRA in 2022, it's possible that you actually were in the stock market and you lost 25% at the end of 2022. Now, this is math, but in 2023, when you actually, if you were fully exposed to the stock market, this is the S&P 500 now, the 500 large stocks, it was up 26%. That math still makes you behind, if you can understand that, because you only had 75,000 to earn the 26% on top of. So you still had to make up for some of that loss from 2022. But then in 2024, provided you stayed with it, and we're talking about the S&P 500, you would have earned 25%. So in that scenario that I just talked about, you would be positive at this time. Now, S&P 500 is U.S., you know, kind of dominated companies. But yet they do, a lot of these big companies, they're worldwide, right? They have offices all over the world globally. And so some of that international exposure does come from the S&P 500. Now, if you just had, you know, international stocks, they did not do well compared to the U.S. So conclusion here is I would do a deep dive. If it's yourself, do a deep dive. What did I really own? Do I want to continue owning that? You know, or if you're working with an advisor, talk to them about maybe changing your allocation going forward. Susie.
651-461-9226. A texter writes, is it better to transfer securities or cash when converting a portion of an IRA to a Roth IRA?
Ooh, that's a good question. Okay, so if you have an IRA, you have an IOU still to the IRS. It's taxable. And it sounds like this person wants to do a Roth. They want to get that taxable money into a Roth and do probably a Roth conversion. And that will cost you tax dollars. Some of those dollars are going to go to the IRS. What you can do is you can take your existing holdings in that IRA and you can literally just move those exact shares to a Roth and call that your Roth conversion. And what I do like right now about doing that is that, I do like that the market's down. So the best time to do a Roth conversion, in my opinion, is when the markets are down, because you're going to pay less tax to get those dollars over to that Roth and get it into a tax-free entity. So I like the fact that you're thinking about doing that. Now, should you use cash to do that? You could sell out your shares in that IRA and transfer the cash, and you can go into the Roth and buy the same things. If that's something that you really want to hold, you can go transfer that cash then into the Roth and go buy the same thing. It's going to depend on the custodian if they will offer both options, moving the shares or cashing it out in the IRA and moving it to the Roth. Susie?
651-461-9226. This is an opportunity now. Peg Webb, Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor with Wealth Enhancement, taking your calls, and you can ask her anything that is on your mind about your financial life. We have a texter, thanks to Wealth Enhancement for the great programming on investments. The question is, can you, when you get matched with an investment, an advisor, can you switch advisors? I know it's not exactly a financial question, but it's a question if you become a client.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yes. And I, throughout the decades I've been doing this, I have been had the opportunity to get some calls because Bruce and I are visible and on the radio, and we'll get these calls and say, you know, I don't know that I match the advisor that I have. You know, I just would want to maybe be with somebody that thinks a little bit differently, or for all who knows what reason,
right?
You know, so then when I get those calls, the first thing I do is call that advisor and make them aware of the phone call that I got, and then I will ask that advisor to contact that person personally and just kind of walk through what they're thinking. And in most of the cases, I have to tell you, it might have been just a disagreement on something. And then they go on their merry way together. But in this case with Wealth Enhancement Group 2, I've had clients transfer to different advisors, and we really try to match them up because we all at Wealth Enhancement Group follow, you know, our investment philosophy and, you know, time, not timing. You know, we provide a lot of services like tax and estate planning and, you know, calculating income for life and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I would be so open to a phone call and a discussion if you'd want to switch. And I'd say that's not even for Wealth Enhancement Group. That would be for everyone out there listening, that they might have an option to do that. Susie?
It's interesting, Peg, because sometimes with a financial advisor, I've had this experience where they tell you things that you don't necessarily want to hear.
I love that you say that, because when I have interviewed people, many, many people over the last decades, I'm just so cut and dry, right? Mm-hmm. If you are not going to take my advice, then do not hire me and do not pay me, because I am not going to take your advice and have me just transact it. And I found that that's the best thing I could have done. Now, a lot of people might say, well, how did you give up that client? That was a big client or something. And I go, no, that's the way that we're going to operate. It's the best way, Susie.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, you're right, because you want to help people. And if they're just going to sort of fly in your face and say, well, I don't care, I'm going to do it my way anyway, then why have one? That's so true. We're coming
and
up.
I don't want to be. And I don't want to be responsible for their actions.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And sometimes you say, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to spend all my money and sell my house and be irresponsible. Well, then don't have a financial advisor. Just be a dope out there. No, I shouldn't say that. People can do what they want with their money. Let's. We're to the bottom here. So let's remind people listening, we're getting a number of more questions on our text line, 651-461-9226. We'll have plenty of time on the other side. 651-461-9226. Jump in, ask your question, and I'll get it to Peg right after this quick break. Welcome back to the second half of Your Money. I'm Susie Jones along with Peg Webb. Peg, of course, a senior vice president at Wealth Enhancement Group. The founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, Bruce Helmer, is off this week, taking a rare and well-deserved day off. Let's get back to the phones if you want to, Peg, or do you want to wrap anything up or talk about anything before we get to the questions?
I'm just going to recap a little bit, because
sure.
A lot of times people join us
sure,
halfway
they tune
through.
In, exactly.
They tune in, yeah. So I addressed the stock market last week and talked a little bit about the bond market, too. I think most of us know that the market was down about 10%. Friday was a good day, though, very good day. I would encourage people to not look at the actual dollars that the media loves to put in the paper and on our, you know, on our articles. And what they'll say is 600 points down. Well, what does that really mean? I mean, percentage-wise, if you look at the small print, it's usually 1%, 1.5%. It's such a big number, and I feel like the media does that to just dramatize, you know, the
that's
activity.
That's what we do, Peg.
And gets you to read their article, right?
Uh-huh.
The NASDAQ was down because – you know, tech has been the leader, right, in running up these markets, 2023, 26%, and 2024, 25%, and this AI and the mystery of how that's going to be utilized and in the future has been kind of the front runner. So now it's kind of flip-flopped where the healthcare stocks, the utility, the energy stocks have done well, and actually international has done well, which hasn't outperformed the U.S. in years past, and is kind of running right now. So the only thing I'll say is pullbacks are normal. Make sure your allocation is what you want it to be. Could we go down further? Absolutely. This, you know, the tariffs and the uncertainty, this isn't something that we do every year, right, to talk about tariffs and it's the uncertainty. The markets just don't know what to do. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? It's like a computer just saying, I don't have the answer right now, because mm-hmm. there's not something that we can look at and go, well, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. So I think just making sure that you feel confident in what you're in and don't, you know, read all the headlines. I also had an outline here on deregulation and regulation. And we just wanted to kind of talk about that, because it does influence financial markets. So regulation sets these rules and has red tape and guidelines by the government agencies in how to control businesses, and then they have to follow all the rules, including the financial markets and how they operate. Deregulation is kind of the process of reducing and removing these government-imposed rules because they're just maybe too restrictive. And the idea is that you want them to be able to operate their businesses freely and make decisions efficiently. And we've all seen where the government, it takes a long time, right, for them to get something out there that that we can utilize as businesses. So oftentimes the corporations are a little frustrated in how long that takes. I gave an example of the airlines and the telecommunications where that actually ended up being good for all of us. And then just the clear step is keep informed, remain flexible, you know, read about it. I don't think we've talked out loud about this, but we can see that there's some changes within kind of our politics and our money. And so I would encourage people to kind of read up on what is a tariff, how might this affect me? It's not something, Susie, that we have on a daily basis that we talk about. So I'd like to continue to take questions because that's the favorite part of the show, okay. I think.
651-461-9226. Good morning, Peg. What an awesome program. I am 67. My spouse is 65, and we are both retired. We have not taken any money from our investments. We have about $1.5 million saved in those investments. Like everyone, we lost in the markets lately. What can we do to take advantage of the losses we've experienced lately? Thank you.
Great question. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of people that have a nice nest egg. Congratulations on building that dollar amount to be able to utilize for the rest of your life. It is difficult, and I talked about these pullbacks, and Susie, you said, I look at my statements and now it's down. And once again, we've kind of forget that the last 2 years were so good and that we kind of say to ourselves, I'm not giving anybody any back. I'm not giving any of this back. Well, that's not really how it works when you invest in the long term and you've got these markets. So what do? You're 67, 65. You haven't been able to, you haven't had to touch it. My question would be, you know, is there other resources like turning on Social Security or turning on a pension? If you're going to pull out money at some point and you need some, a couple ideas is you have to pay attention to what sides of the markets are doing well at the time. So the last couple of years, the stock market has been well. We have been telling clients, take your because they need it. Take your profits because you need to replace that income bucket that you need to live on for the next 2 to 3, maybe 5 years. And that way you're not in a position, if the stock market does go down for a prolonged time, 2 to 3 years, that you're not selling low. So that's what I mean by diversification in the beginning of the show, is you really and truly have to have different buckets for different purposes. I'm going to come back to the your money matrix. I just feel like this template we have that sorts your money by not only how it's taxed, but how much risk are you taking and when are you going to take the money? So how is it taxed? Well, it would be taxable. That's your IRA. You haven't paid any tax on that. Taxable. And then tax deferred, you have to pay money on tax on that, and then tax advantaged. But we also have on the left-hand side, 0 to 5 years, 5 to 15 years, and 15 years or longer. Hopefully you have this $1.5 million where you have a percentage in each time frame so that you can utilize that money and never sell when it's down. That's the reason for our your money matrix. And it seems to be a template which we designed oh so long ago. It's a simplistic template, but boy, is it impactful. Susie?
651-461-9226. That's the number to call. A texter writes, I have enough cash for living expenses for the rest of the year. Would it be a good idea to stop my RMD until year end and take a large lump sum then? And before maybe tell us again, even though we sort of assume people know things, what is an RMD?
Yeah, a good question. So if the cash is sitting there for the rest of the year and you have a mandated RMD, which is a required minimum distribution, and the IRS doesn't want us to have these IRAs that we have deferred for a lifetime, right? We've been doing this compounding. We've been earning money mm-hmm. on money that's been sitting in there, but we still have a big IOU to the IRS. So the RMD is mandated, and the age now is 73. Now, a lot of our clients are already taking out required minimum distributions, and you might remember this. It used to be 70 and a half.
Okay.
And now this 73, if when you become 73, you have a little bit more of a delayed distribution that the IRS is having you do.
Peg, and then so, can I ask you this? What is there a sliding scale about what the minimum is?
Yes, good okay. question. Yeah. So the IRS comes out with a sheet that says,
sure.
okay, if you're 73, they mandate a percentage of all the IRAs that you have. So let's just generalize right now, and it's 3.5% okay. in the first year that you have to take it out. As you get older, that percentage increases.
Mm.
So the IRS would love for you to get that account empty by the time you retire, by the time you pass away.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so you have to follow those rules. In this case, the question really here is, do I take my required minimum distribution now while the market's down, or do I wait till the end of the year? Because you have till December 31st to take it out.
Mm.
Well, that's anybody's guess. In the short term, I don't know. Susie doesn't know. My clients don't know. Our investment team doesn't know in the short term exactly how we're going to end this year. A good idea might be, though, is you can actually dollar cost average your required minimum distribution out.
What does that mean?
You don't have to call in and take a lump sum. With the months that we have left, which is 9 months,
mm-hmm.
you could take, you know, one percentage each month, some percentage out,
mm-hmm.
and you're almost like dollar cost averaging out of that required minimum distribution. I hope that all your money is not in the stock market in a required minimum distribution, because you do have some short-term reasons that you have to pull money out. So it's just another caution to all the listeners out there. I hope you don't have all short money that you're thinking you're going to take out in a short time frame. Susie?
651-461-9226. This is another RMD question. I have a remaining RMD to take out this year of about $50,000. I have several indexed funds, balanced mutual funds, and a brokerage account. Is there a certain market? What does it say? I'm missing the second line.
I can help you, Susie.
These questions are all mixed up.
Yep.
You have to read them on separate lines.
Peg, the question is there a certain market index that you would suggest for withdrawals?
There you go.
Oh, okay. It kind of depends on. So you have to take out $50,000 by the end of this year, and there's many market indexes, right? There's the Dow Jones, the S&P 500. There's the Nasdaq. There's the, you know, international type of thing. S&P 500 has been the winner definitely by far, and it's the larger because the Dow is only 30 stocks. The S&P is 500 different positions. So I do like that index. And the other thing I want to say is you can take the money out and go reinvest it in the stock market too if the market's down. The only negative of all of this is that you're going to have an IOU to the IRS, right? So if $50,000, probably $10,000 or more is going to go to the IRS for this year.
So
you could reinvest again, the $40,000 that's left if you want to remain in the stock market.
Okay.
Susie?
651-461-9226. You can ask Peg anything you want, and hopefully she'll come up with an answer. This is not exactly investment, but I think people wonder, what do you think about the shuttering of potential of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau? Does that have any impact on your world, on the investment world?
I can't tell you that I'm up to speed on the consumer protection, and I know it's been in the headlines, but I wouldn't have a good answer
okay.
right now. That would be one that we could research during the week, and I'll bring it back next week.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Just see if there's a connection. A texter writes, how do I move a stock certificate into a wealth enhancement account?
Oh, great. You know, it's kind of funny in that these individual, like printed, and they're very pretty, printed stock certificates were kind of from the old world now, right? We don't get a stock certificate for all the 500 stocks we own in the S&P, even if, but many clients have these in their safe deposit box, and they're kind of wondering what to do with them.
Sure.
Well, you can actually bring that certificate in or mail it in. What you don't want to do is if it's in the mail system, you don't want to sign it and do all of that. But the client service managers at Wealth Enhancement Group are very knowledgeable about how to get that certificate deposited. Some of the questions we have is, believe it or not, there's some certificates out there that are not they're not negotiable anymore.
Oh.
Like the company didn't do well and they have no value. So the first thing is every stock in company stock has a custodian. They have a what do you call that? An administrator. So they have a company that knows everything about their stock. So every company hires an administrator, and usually it's in banks. And they are the ones that send you the dividends. And they are the ones that send, you know, statements if you have a book entry, if you will, if you don't have a certificate, a statement of how much of that stock you have. Many, many people will take that stock if it's at their administrator and deposit it into a brokerage account with Wealth Enhancer Group. That way we then can do the research. We have it under our custodian and can help you that way. Susie?
All right. Again, if you are just tuning in, this is Your Money, and this is your opportunity to call Peg Webb, Senior Vice President of Wealth Enhancement. She is flying solo today as the founder of Wealth Enhancement, Bruce Helmer, also financial advisor, is off for this day. And we've talked about deregulation and regulation and the stock market and your money and your investments. The number, if you have a question, is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. A texter writes, can you carry over losses to be shared with a brother to offset capital gains?
Okay. Can you share losses? And what was the brother?
I don't know. That's a little weird.
Oh.
I mean, only that I don't know what that person is actually getting at. Let's...
Okay.
Oh, but go ahead.
Well, no, I can take it.
Can you talk about carrying over losses?
Yes. So capital losses. So there's capital gains and there's capital losses, and you can cross both of those. So if you would happen to have a gain of $10,000 this year, and you have a loss of $10,000, you can wipe that out to zero. So there's no taxes due. Well, in a lot of cases, because of the last couple of years, people have had capital gains and they don't have enough losses to cross on those capital gains. And then the capital gains goes on your income tax. You have to pay. Well, in this case, the listener is saying, okay, I have losses only. The tax return will allow you to take $3,000 off. Let's pretend it's $10,000. I don't know if he said, but $10,000. You can take $3,000 per year for those losses. They won't allow you to take all $10,000 in 1 year unless you have this capital gains that you can cross with. Then you can utilize the whole $10,000. If you may have a certificate or a holding or an account joint with your brother. And if that's the case, you would be 50-50, and then you would each take your own losses. And in this case, it would probably be $1,500 if you don't have any gains to cross. And you would do that individually. You know, it's not like you should each get a 1099 or some kind of a statement that shows the loss, but then you'd have to say that is only 50% owned by me. Susie?
All right, 651-461-9226. If you have a question for Peg Webb. Peg, did you say you had a question from last week? We might want to squeeze in here. We have about 2.5 minutes less. left?
Yeah, long-term care. I just wanted to, this was a great question. I have a long-term care insurance policy. I live in Minnesota. I have care in a home with a company. And actually, the long-term care pays the company for their worker and sends me a monthly check for each day that I've cared for. Is that taxable? So it actually isn't. But to qualify, your policy that you have, that thick policy that has a lot of detail in it, you have to look in there and you have to see if it's a guaranteed renewable policy. You must not have a cash surrender value. They cannot use this to pay for reimbursed expenses that would be reimbursed by Medicare. That kind of makes sense, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then to receive these tax benefits from your policy, you have to be certified or you have to be chronically ill, and it has to be a licensed healthcare practitioner. Hmm. So there are things that you have to research to see if that's taxable. And if you're working with a CPA or an accountant or something, they also would be able to help you whether that is taxable or tax-free.
Peg, on long-term care, do you advise clients on, or do you get asked by your clients about whether or not it's a good thing for them to do, to have?
Oh, we do, yeah. And we have from the beginning of Wealth Enhancement Group. So I would say, you know, maybe 50% of people decide they want long-term care insurance, 50% say they don't. Mm-hmm. We do. We actively mention it because ultimately we educate, and then each client is able to make their own decision if that's something that they want to do. And it's things like they want their children to get their inheritance. Let's protect it by mm-hmm. the long-term mm-hmm. care. That's mm-hmm. kind of the highest, biggest theme when it comes to long-term care.
Right. And it is kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of a crapshoot, because you can live a very long life and never need it. But then if you do, it's the best thing you ever bought.
And I own it personally mm-hmm. because I witnessed my grandmother having to sell land. And that was devastating. So I just want to protect my wealth for my next generation.
Wonderful. Peg, it was good to have you on today alone. I know we miss Bruce, but fun to spend some time with you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Have a great week. Again, if you did not get your question answered, 1-888-6-ADVICE, or you can email your questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com.